Dissonance Media and the Other Stories presents. Step into the abyss of After the Gloaming, a gothic fiction podcast that delves into the depths of human emotion. Unyielding love, revenge, internal struggles, and restless souls await you in 9 haunting episodes, where dread, fear, and rare glimpses of eerie happiness linger. Dare to listen on your favorite podcatcher? After the Gloaming beckons. Search now, but beware. Innocence will be left behind.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
These aren't the stories your mother told you. No, these are the other stories.
Hello, and welcome back to the other stories. My name is Luke Condor, one of the many office underlings at the Hawk and Cleaver Towers who serves under Kez, our great and all-powerful leader slash managing editor. I hope you had a great time over last week's Halloween week, where we released The Witching Hour, which was absolutely terrifying. If you enjoyed it, please consider rating and reviewing in your favourite podcast app. It's one of our favourite things to do every year, but it takes a lot out of us. And just getting some nice words and some nice feedback would be extra pleasant, let's say. If you're a writer, be sure to stick around to the end of this episode, where we'll be inviting on writer and narrator Jasmine Arch to talk about her 10 tips for writers submitting their short stories. Also, I want to give a quick shout out to a regular TOS listener, Torsha, who recently tied the knot. And I don't mean she tied the knot around some kind of victim's neck. I mean, she tied the knot, the wedding knot. Actually, I don't know what the wedding knot is. She got married, basically. So a massive congrats to Torsha from everyone here at the Hawk and Cleaver offices. Congratulations, hope you have an amazing marriage and rest of life and honeymoon or whatever you get up to after weddings, I don't know. I hope there was some great cake and a lovely first dance. So this month, we're going to be revisiting one of my personal favourite themes, post-apocalyptic volume 2. I don't know what it is about post-apoc stories that I love so much personally, whether it's exploring the world that exists afterwards, whatever it's after, a big bang, a flood, some sort of illness, or maybe I enjoy it because it's nice to see the way in which nature reclaims old structures or the new ways in which people order. Not quite people, learn to survive and thrive in the new world. Well, maybe it's something to do with the quiet. There's an odd sense of peace in post-apocalyptic stories. Everything quietens, everything becomes much less complicated, and there's no office to have to return to. This month we've got an amazing bunch of creatives, Thomas X. Teller, James Doerr, Paul Stevenson, Paul M. Feeney, and Lewis Morris are on writing duties. A quick note, I just wanted to let you guys know, Lewis Morris is actually his very first short story he's ever written. When we sent him his acceptance, he came back with, "This just made my week. I'm honoured and surprised that my story was picked for the Patreon episode, as it was the first short story I've ever written. No joke. Just in time for the spooky season 2. What a trip." So it doesn't matter who you are, what colour your pen is, or what kind of paper you like to write on, we accept anyone as long as the story is good and it fits the theme and it mutates us into some sort of hyper-dimensional being. That's all we ask for. On narration duties this month, we have Justin Fife, Georgia Cook, James Barnett, and Persephone Rose. I hope you enjoy your post-apocalyptic stories. We've got a delicious platter of radioactive story content just for your ears. We have some new patrons. In fact, quite a few new patrons, all with their own super special superpower. Georgia Cook can turn water to wine and snakes into Haribo gummies. Jude Hawthorne can go into people's dreams and implant late night TV show host Jimmy Fallon. Terrifying. Laura Kendrick can stare directly into the sun, and whenever she does so, the sun blinks first. Samira Dunbala, she has the power of echolocation, perfect for getting home late at night when you can't find the light switch. She clicks and pops and hollers and finds a way around the house. Chris Mallory can change the length of his toenails of his mind. STFU Donnie PLC has the power to bowl a perfect 300, and he uses that power to fight evil. And lastly, Carly Hood, who can climb into people's headphones when they're not looking and give them a surprise wet willy when they put the headphones back on. Amazing. If you'd like to join our amazing superpowered patrons and find out what your own superpower is, you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/hawkandcleaver, where we've just published a brand new Patreon exclusive episode. It's called Muse, and it's about a man on a deep space rescue mission who is not as alone as he imagines. But that is not good news for either him nor his uninvited guest, a parasite of the mind. It's written by Liam Hogan and narrated by Jasmine Arch and edited by Carl Hughes. Speaking of Patreon, we have made a few changes to our Patreon rewards and tiers. There's now merch available, there's short story and podcast critiques available. We're building out our Hawk and Cleaver exclusive library. Currently there's about 40 to 45 exclusive episodes in there. There's a new exclusive episode every single month. All the episodes on there are ad free and you get the regular episodes a week early. And our big aim is to try and get to $500 a month. And I know it's massive. During these most spookiest of times, we are leveling up our game. So if you enjoyed any of the podcasts we've produced, the books we've published, or the comics we've released, now's the time to show your support. Over the last 6 years, we've published almost 400 episodes of fiction, written by almost 100 writers, and narrated by an amazing team of voice artists based all over the world. We've won awards, topped charts, and have released lovely hardback books too. And with your support, we'll be able to up our pay rates for our contributors. We're always trying to work towards that professional rate, so we can pay our contributors fairly and properly. Number 2, create extra bonus content for our most loyal of listeners. We have some things in mind. We're thinking flash fiction stories, or drabbles as they're called, or some sort of monthly Q&A sort of episode. And also, 3, we also want to evolve into hyperdimensional super beasts, which I've mentioned this many times on the show. It's a big goal of mine. Some people want to run a marathon. I want to evolve into a hyperdimensional super beast. Our goal is to hit $500. It's pretty much impossible, I would say. But you don't get to evolve into a hyperdimensional super beast without putting yourselves out there, right? Also, if you pledge at a $20 or more amount between the 25th of October and the 8th of November, you will get a limited edition The Witching Hour t-shirt. It won't be available anywhere else, so this is the only place you can do it. It's all available at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Also, just to note, we have changed our reward tiers of Patreon, but don't worry, if you've already pledged, then nothing will change for you at all. We've just added some extra perks like a mug that you can get hold of. If you subscribe at £15 a month, you'll get a mug, a sticker, a poster, a t-shirt. It's kind of like the merch reward tier. And there's also the aforementioned short story or podcast. If you're a creative and you want a second pair of ears fixed to your head, we will knit those on for you. But lastly, today, I wanted to invite writer and narrator Jasmine Arch onto the show. Jasmine, out of maybe anyone I know, is the most clued up when it comes to working the short story marketplace, in the sense of writing lots of short stories and submitting your short stories out to various markets, racking up those acceptances and rejections and working that game, because it is a game and there's a lot to it. And I've invited her on today to give her 10 tips for writers submitting their short stories. Now, if you have a question for Jasmine, let us know, and we're going to try and do a kind of agony aunt. Is that what it's called? Agony aunt kind of thing, where people maybe send in a question or an issue that they're having. I can't get my caps lock button to work on my computer. Maybe not that question, but whatever question you've got, send them in, and we will pose them to Jasmine and see what she recommends. Over to Jasmine for her 10 tips for writers submitting their short stories.
Well, if you write short stories and you want to start getting them published, or want to start getting more of them published in different places, here's my top 10 tips for how to go about that. Number one, prepare yourself for rejections. Lots of them, even. You can't learn how to box without getting punched in the face a few times. But boxers have one thing going for them. They actually learn skills to dodge those punches. We writers have got to roll with them. The competition is huge, especially for markets paying writers at CIFWA Pro rates, which is 8 cents per word, or above. Hundreds of stories get sent into these markets, and they have space for maybe 10 of those, if it's even that much, which means less than 10% of submissions make it out of the slush pile. Which brings me to number two. With number one in mind, you must remember a rejection is not a reflection on the quality of your work. A lot of factors play into the tough decisions editors make. Beyond quality and taste, they have to worry about a lot of other things as well. They need to provide variety to their readers. If they just published a dark Hansel and Gretel retelling, yours, no matter how genius it is, won't have much of a chance. Then there's story length. Even with markets that allow for a wider word count variety than the other stories, they have to be mindful of the length. A print magazine needs to stick to a certain number of pages, for example, and if their next issue only has 2 blank pages left, they won't have room for your 10,000 word masterpiece. It's not just a matter of hitting the right editor's desk, but you need to do it at the right time too. Which leads me to point number three. It's a numbers game. The more stories you can send out to places, the higher your chances of finding that right desk, right time sweet spot, which means you need to make the most of your backlist. If a rejection comes, just send that thing right back out there as soon as you can. It's not going to do you any good sitting in a folder on your hard drive. Unless the rejection comes back with some feedback you think you can use to make your story stronger, or maybe you've had 10 rejections on a story and you want to have a look at it, because of course we always grow as writers, so maybe 1 year or 2 years down the line, you do have the skills to make that story better. Bear in mind though that any editor's feedback is based on the thoughts of that one editor. If they say they want more world building, that doesn't mean the next editor will feel the same way. Point number four. Where do you find these markets? There's a few places, actually. Your own community of writers is a great place to start, and if you haven't found one, go out and search, because it is so valuable to any writer's career. You can exchange tips, you can exchange feedback you get from different editors so that you maybe can familiarize yourself with their preferences, even if you've never gotten that feedback yourself, or even if you never submitted there yourself before. You can keep each other posted on which market opens for submissions and which is about to close, if any new ones pop up, etc., etc. And your fellow writers will also commiserate with you as the rejections come in, which they inevitably will. But there's more. A lot of fellow authors and publishers are present on social media as well, where they share tips and encouragement. For a more structured approach to finding markets, there's databases such as Duotrope or the Submission Grinder. I've never used Duotrope myself, basically because I'm too stingy to pay for what the Submission Grinder can do for free, but I've heard lots of people attest to its usefulness. But I mean, having never used it myself, I can't exactly tell you how it works and what the precise features are. The Submission Grinder, on the other hand, is my go-to. It will not only help you find markets through very specific search parameters such as genre, word count, pay rates, and you get to like enter some keywords. You can set market preferences. You can blacklist certain markets if you know you're never going to qualify for them anyway. For example, if the market is a limited demographic and you don't fit that specific demographic. And then what it will also do is allow you to log your stories and track the markets you've sent them to, as well as comparing your submission status to other logged submissions at the same market. You can even track whether or not you've received your payment and how long your story will have to stay exclusive before you can start submitting it to reprint markets. Point number five. So once you've picked a market, which is excellent, by the way, now it's time to read the guidelines carefully and attentively. Some markets specify a certain theme or only accept submissions from a specified demographic, as I already mentioned before, like say Black, Indigenous or people of color, for example, or trans folks or women or people from a certain part of the world. Strange Horizons, for example, one of my dream markets, which I have yet to crack, just did a special issue focused on poets from Southeast Asia or the Southeast Asian diaspora. Then you've got anthologies like Disabled People Destroy Fantasy, Women Destroy Science Fiction, etc., etc. If you don't meet the requirements for a market, whether it's based on demographic, story length, or other requirements, other options might be that they prefer stories with no violence, no profanity, for example. Just don't submit. There's plenty of other fish in the sea. A few more things to look out for are hard sell lists, which a lot of magazines make available, meaning your story will have to be exceptional if it fits into that list, or they're just not going to accept it. A lot of places also give an estimated response time. Whether or not that is accurate remains to be seen. And in this respect, the Grinder again comes in quite handy because it provides you with the average response times of each market, based on what people have logged for that market. And then point number six. You definitely need to look out for dodgy contracts or fine print, like by submitting my story, I give the publisher permission to use my work for promotional purposes, or if accepted, copyright for my work will be transferred to the publisher, and other very iffy practices. The Submission Grinder will notify you of that in their listing if they've been warned about this, and they welcome people alerting them to these practices whenever you encounter them. Number seven. Many markets will also include specifications such as no simultaneous submissions, meaning if you've submitted your story to them, they want you to submit it nowhere else until they give you your reply. Some markets tell you to query them if they haven't gotten back to you within a certain time span. Things like that are all pretty useful to know. Point number eight. Does your story fit the guidelines and specifications? Send it. A lot of markets advise you to read their publication to familiarize yourself with the type of work they publish, but you might just surprise them with the story, unlike anything they've ever published before. Do not, I repeat, do not self-reject. I also believe it's quite impossible to actually read every single magazine I submit to, because there's a lot of them out there, and not all of them are free, basically, I just have a limited budget, and a lot of us do, and that is totally, totally fine. Tip number nine. After you get a story accepted, go over the contract with a fine-tooth comb. I know you've already read the guidelines, but you need to read this as well, and this is way more boring. But the story you're licensing them to publish is your intellectual property, and as such, it has value. Some markets take perpetual exclusivity, for example, meaning you can never get it published elsewhere. Sometimes they even take first rights in all formats, including those not invented yet. Don't fall into traps like that. If you don't know how to navigate a contract, find someone willing to help you. Again, your writing community will be invaluable in situations like these. And finally, number 10. After you get a story published, don't retire it. Lots of markets will accept stories that have been previously published, sometimes at a lower pay rate than the ones they can buy the first rights on. But it's not only another dollar in your tip jar, it's also an opportunity for readers to get acquainted with your work. Look at foreign markets for your reprints too. Douglas Smith keeps a list of foreign markets with access to translators, allowing them to accept English language submissions. These often won't pay, but again, it is more people reading your work and potentially more readers who encounter your name in a bookstore or while scrolling through Amazon and thinking, hey, I remember that one story by this person. And I mean, come on. Doesn't it sound totally badass to say your work's been translated into Latvian or Portuguese or Spanish? I mean, I'll take it. So I'm going to stop here, basically because Luke put me on a time budget, which is probably smart of him. Listen, I'm not going to claim that getting your stories published in magazines is the only way to be a real writer. There's no blue fairies and I'm a real writer moments. It won't cure you of imposter syndrome or make you rich. But at the same time, for many of us, there's nothing like seeing our stories finding their way out into the world and having people enjoy them. So if you've been writing stories, why not make them the best you can and send them out there? And I'm still talking. So, this is your friendly neighborhood Jazz saying goodbye and may the odds be ever in your favor.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.